dinner of wheatfield. So here I go. First where that I intend to show is Mary Wakefield and her family, which fame has placed with all that they belong into the town and many brought some song. The dinner's battle and how firm he stood in the town's fence against the railroad. Richard Brathwaite. The years went by quickly enough while Robin Hood dwelt in Sherwood with his merry band of outlaws. Outside, in the greater world, Prince John plotted and schemed to gain power, and King Richard, after his unsuccessful crusade, was captured by an Archduke of Austria and languished long in prison. Rumors of Richard's fate crept home to England, which John strove to turn his own good. But Bondo, Richard's faithful minstrel friend, sought him all over Europe, found him in his castle prison, and brought back news. Then John strove to discredit. The truth was told throughout England. The rich and poor alike brought that money they could towards the great ransom which the Archduke demanded for their king. Robin Hood was very active in collecting his ransom, and no bishop or abbot, nor any baron, knight, or even squire, who known to be a follower of Prince John, could pass through the Sherwood Forest without being stopped for tribute. But while the ransom was collecting, John strove once more to seize the crown for himself, and there was many an unrest, particularly. There was great unrest, particularly in the north of England, where many barons favored him. But Ranulph, Earl of Chester, stood stoutly for King Richard and strove to catch and kill as traitors any who stood for Prince John. A humbler champion of King Richard's, but one who has won to even greater fame, was a certain George Green, who was the pinner of Wakefield in Yorkshire. His profession was to catch any sheep or cattle found straying on the roads or in the fields or of corn or hay and pound them, that is, shut them up until claimed, which an appropriate fine in the village pound or pinfold, which was like a small pen, or run with high stone walls and a strong gate. George Green, however, pounded traitors as well as cattle, defied even the commanders who came to attack the little town of Wakefield with their troops of men at arms and archers, and won victory after victory with the aid of men of Wakefield, until the sudden of a sudden his name was more talked of throughout the country than ever that of Robin Hood. George was a man of great strength, and he was skilled with all weapons. Naturally, all the maidens of Wakefield sought his glove, and the most beautiful of them all, Beatrice, the daughter of a wealthy justice called Grimes, won his heart. For a long time, however, Grimes would not allow them to marry. He himself was rather inclined towards Prince John's side, and a great lord among the rebels sought Beatrice's hand in marriage. George won Grimes' consent at length, but only after many setbacks and adventures, which they were noised aboard and even sung of in the ballads, to such an extent that Beatrice was soon as famous throughout the land as George of Green himself. Rumors of all this reached Robin and his men in Sherwood, but most was told them by a wandering minstrel who was sheltered in secret in the secret dell during a fortnight of heavy rain. He strove to pay for his entertainment by telling stories and singing ballads, and it chanced that most of these were concerned with the bravery and strength of George Green, and the unparalleled beauty and love and the lovely Beatrice. When the minstrel had gone, Robin noticed that Marian was strangely silent and depressed at her melancholy and shortness of temper grew so extreme that he almost inclined to fear lest he had cause for jealousy. "My lovely Marian," he said one April day, as they sat near to one another by the great trysting tree in the secret glade, "why are you not cheerful as you used to be? What ails you, my sweetheart, and makes you so sad? Is it this long, long wait for Richard to come home of his own and give you to me in marriage, according to your oath?" Marian smiled and leant her head against Robin's arm. "No, no," she said softly, "though indeed I long more and more for that happy day," she sighed a little. "What is it then, sweetheart?" "You must not laugh at me, Robin," she said, looking half ashamed as she spoke. "I think these long days of wet spring after snowy winter, then there is little I can do. I think we are largely to blame. Surely otherwise I would not worry about so trifling a care." She paused, and Robin said tenderly, "Dear heart, you know well that no care of yours can seem to trifle me. Well, tell on, I pray you." "Well," answered Marian hastily, "one hears more and more these days of the deeds and the valor of this George of Green, and of the beauty of his love, the fair Beatrice, who is said to exceed all women in their loveliness." Until lately, your name, my Robin, was on everyone's lips and in all the songs of the minstrels and fiddlers, and they told of your deeds and prowess, your skill with bow or with quarterstaff, and of Maid Marian and the Queen of Sherwood. So they shall again, declared Robin. This fellow, an upstart, and rides to fame on the bubble reputation, which will burst sooner or later. Albeit he is a good man and loyal from all her, as for the betrothed of his, I'll wager my head that could you but be seen once in her company, no one will look at her again. Then what we not go to Wakefield, hesitated Marian. I cannot bear to think that men say George a Green could beat Robin with the quarterstaff. Content, laughed Robin Hood. We will away to Wakefield forthwith. The spring is upon us, and I feel ready for any mad adventure. Like you, I also have been cooped up in our caves for far too long. Yes, we will dress you as a forester, and the very garb in which you deceived me when you came to tell them of our venture, and bid them make sure that their bowstrings are strong and their arrows keen, and their staffs of the toughest oak. My warrant heads will be broken when we meet with George of Green. Not many evenings later, this his cares permitting, George Green walked forth into the country outside Wakefield with Beatrice on his arm, to view the land, the fields where the lately sown corn was already showing tender green shoots above the brown earth. Tell me, sweet love, George was saying, are you indeed content to wed with so a simple a man as I, when knights and gentlemen seek your hand in marriage? Oh, George, how can you doubt my love, began Beatrice, and then stopped suddenly, for George a Green was gasping his staff and flushed with anger, gazing across the nearest field. Look, he exclaimed, there are four men breaking through the hedge. Yes, they are coming straight towards us across the corn. Oh, this is not to be borne. Then raising his voice, he roared out, get back, you foolish travelers. You are wrong. You must not come that way. Now by my soul, answered the foremost, who was dressed like all of them in Lincoln green, and carried a staff in his hand. By my soul, proud sir, we were four brave foresters, and you but know whom yeoman. Who are you to tell us which way to go? Get back quickly, shouted George, or I will make you skip over the hedge and ditch. I'll warrant you that it is not the highway good enough for you that you must make a path over the new corn. Are you mad? Cried Robin, who was of course, a leader of the four. Dare you encounter such men as we? We are no babies, men. Just look at our limbs. Sirrah, answered George, the biggest limbs have not always the stoutest hearts. There, hear you as strong as Robin Hood of Sherwood and all his outlaws, still you have no right to walk across the corn. And I, George of Green, the pinner of Wakefield, will drive you off like any other cattle. But if you are brave men and not cowards, come at me once at a time, and I'll trounce you all. And only wish there were 20 such insolent fellows to feel the weight of my step. Here were you as high in deeds, remarked Scarlet, stepping on to the road, taking the position of defense, as you are in words, you might well qualify the king's champion. But empty vessels make the loudest sounds, and cowards prattle more than really brave men. Sirrah, dare you defy me? Shouted George. Yes, Sirrah, that I dare, answered Scarlet. Then they came together, striking many blows, but the end of it was George knocked Scarlet a crack on the head and laid him on the ground. Save your blows for a younger man, exclaimed Little John, and a moment later they were exchanging blows that rang out like a distant thunder across a peaceful evening field. But in the end of that round, that was also that Little John fell, and the pinner's staff on his head more heavily than the senses could stand, and so he joined Scarlet on the ground. Come on, cried Robin, taking John's place. Spare me not, and I'll not spare you. Take no doubt of that, laughed George, agreeing, for I'll be a liberal of you as I was to your friends, to set work with their great oaken staffs, and they were so evenly matched that though they fought for an hour, neither got in a disguise blow at the other. At length, they drew apart the rest, and Robin exclaimed, panting for breath, Stay good George. Stay, good George. Let us not batter away longer at each other. By my troth, I swear that you are the stoutest champion I've ever yet laid hands upon. Softly, good sir, gasped George. By your leave, you lie. You never laid hands on me yet. Well, I admit it, laughed Robin. I have met my match. But come, good George, will you not forsake Wakefield and go with me? I'll promise you both again, both game and good fighting, if you will but wear my livery of Lincoln Green. In God's name, who are you? Asked George, mopping his forehead. Why, answered Robin, I am that Robin Hood of whom you spoke, and you have already laid out my two good friends, Will Scarlet and John. Robin Hood, cried George, right glad I am to see you. Next to our Lord King Richard, you are the man I honor most and have most often longest to meet. Right willingly, I will be your man. My time is out as a pinner here in Wakefield. Though I will not desert my home, I may well spend some of my days in Sherwood, and I doubt not that you will find a welcome also for my dear love Beatrice, soon to be my wife. And if not, The far things made Marianne Shirley little. Let the answer for herself, smiled Robin, beckoning to the last member of his party. I present Maid Marian to you. Both George and Beatrice uttered an exclamation of surprise, so perfect as Marian's disguise. But when she flung back her hood and let her the loveliness of her hair come trembling all about her face, no one could doubt that she was far the loveliest lady in all the North Country. And Beatrice, though comely and winsome, could never compare her. But Beatrice bore no grudge, and while Robin and George shook hands and clapped one another on the back, she went up and knelt before Marian and kissed her hand. Not so, said Marian gently. There is no Lady Marian in this Sherwood, but only Maid Marian. And she raised Beatrice to her feet and embraced her and kissed her. Embraced and kissed her. Then they were all happy together, and neither Scarlet nor John bore George any grudge for their broken heads. Come now, said George, you are most welcome. Come, good Robin, and lovely Maid Marian, and you two stout fighters, Will Scarlet and Little John, though skill with bow the bow is, I'll warrant, far greater than mine could ever be. I live but in a humble cottage thatched with turf, but I can offer you a feast that you might not find even in a manor house. I have a side of beef that hung in smoke since Christmas. I have fresh mutton, a veal, and a wafer cakes. I have wafer cakes in plenty, and as much ale as any one of you could drink in a year. And that is a feast all too good for such an unbidden guest as we are, said Robin. But let us in the partake of it. And tomorrow, come back with us to Sherwood and taste of our good cheer. Right willingly, answered George agreeing. And I say the like, echoed Beatrice. That is, if I may come with you dressed even as Marian is, with a sword at my side and a bow on my back. It shall be as you wish, said George, and Robin nodded agreement. But come away now, for dinner waits us, and I long drink the health for noble Robin Hood. So that was chapter 16. Bye, guys. See you later. See you later. See you later. See you later. Bye, guys.